As we began to write this paper, we were, and still are, surrounded by extensive media reporting of the angry people. Okay, mostly white middle-class people, middle-aged and older, but they are loud. They're protesting health care and health insurance reform in the USA. It occurs to me that this debate must seem incredulous to those from countries that have had universal health care for many years. The dissenters in the USA see health benefits and the dollars to pay for them as scarce resources. There are not enough to go around, so they will have less if others are to have more. For the most angry, anyone who disagrees with them is a Nazi or a communist, or both, according to the signs they hold at rallies. Like many women, I don't like angry confrontations. Because of this, I have not gone to marches, even when I supported the cause, because I have never seen yelling and putting other people down as a good way to get things done. And it isn't the kind of human being I want to be. As an educator, to try to model respect for differing views, I've emphasized that students should not just support my values. They need to probe their own values, question where they came from, how they are living them, and who gains and who loses. This clearly keeps me within the lines demanded by my job as a state employee. We are restricted from promoting any particular political view in our classes. But of course, everything is political. And yet, when I stay neutral, to listen to students, accept them where they are, and encourage them to question their values, I sometimes feel like I have chosen being nice over accomplishing social justice. It is so much easier to be a compassionate listener and to try to work towards acceptance and appreciation of others than it is to change social structures. Of course, I also don't have to give up my nice house, my nice job, my nice though conventional family. It's a safe place to be. And if I did have the courage to make those more difficult choices, would I be able to make a difference anyway? With the skills I have, what is the best path to take towards accomplishing a more just and loving community? Compassion seems so much easier to teach and accomplish than justice. We can feel compassionate through small individual acts. Justice seems to require big changes. As our country debates healthcare reform, memories of Senator Ted Kennedy are constantly being evoked. The memorials to him have been a real inspiration to me. He seemed to accomplish a multitude of compassionate acts towards individuals while working towards social justice, or compassion in the wider sense, and being someone even ultra-conservative Orrin Hatch called a friend. Of course, part of why he accomplished so much in the way of social justice is that he was a senator for a very long time. Access to power helps, and he had the financial resources that helped him have the access to power and to avoid losing it despite his personal limitations. The financial resources meant he also did not have to deal with the laundry and the grocery shopping and all the other minutiae that so easily distract the rest of us. But can we all find some part of ourselves to do what Ted Kennedy did? And how can we cope with all those screaming people on the conservative talk shows who screamed as much at him as they are screaming now? He did not let them silence him.
It's my sense that Kennedy also had a couple of important qualities. Perspectives may be a better word. That fueled his never-give-up attitude that allowed him to move the nation forward in social justice concerns. He benefited from a legacy of service devoted to fighting for improving all people's lives. Though he grew up in a powerful and wealthy family, the focus seems to have been on what to do with all that power and clout. Similarly, teachers do have the ability to make their own commitments in the ways in which they teach. Even if the curriculum is highly mandated and expected outcomes rigidly framed. I've always thought of this as somewhat as the other side of the coin in terms of the literature. lots based on second-generation Foucault, that overemphasizes, in my estimation, asymmetrical power structures and leaves out teachers' ability to use their power in the classroom and studio to resist dominant teaching paradigms and to challenge the status quo on many fronts. A strong image for me in this context is closing the classroom or studio door, defining that particular hour and a half within the group we form in that special period, and what we can momentarily discuss, value, commiserate about, critique, empathize with, and clarify for ourselves in our actions, at least actions we aspire to. Obviously, a teacher has this kind of authority. Like Kennedy, it's how we decide to use it, for what purposes and whose benefit, in the short term of the semester, but also in the pre-service teacher's long term. And like the benefit of the legacy that Kennedy was born into, we have the ability to build a similar legacy for pre-service teachers, that is, teaching in ways that illustrate the possibility of a lifelong commitment for undoing injustice, from its most mundane daily occurrences to larger systemic inequity, often less transparent and more invisible. There's also so much support to be gained by really knowing your commitments and using these as guideposts, especially when there's too much collective noise, too much content to cover, too many external demands, and too many students to reach. Last, and I'll stop here on this topic, even when we make clear our commitments to social justice, we must realize straightforwardly the dominant social, economic, and political machinery that often stands in our way. Seeing these obstacles clearly, their power and sway, is central to charting and sustaining individual action. Otherwise, we'll fall into despair and falsely believe that our actions don't matter. Conversely, if we don't see the enormity of what we confront, we'll do a little here or there and be fully content that we've done what we could.